basic components that you needed in order to successfully hear from him. We explained that the first one was that God's desire was to communicate with you. It's not a formula. There's no mystery. There's nothing that you have to do supernaturally, per se, to get God to communicate with you. His desire is to talk with you on a regular basis, and that's what he wants to do. Second thing we talked about is you have to get in the right position. In other words, you have to watch how you come before God. The Bible says specifically, if you want to enter into his presence, you need to have clean hands and a pure heart. And so I said, you can't have sin and junk in your life and think that you're going to be able to hear from God, because it just won't work. And the third thing we discuss is that you've got to believe. Yeah. Hebrews 4:11 and 6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so you've got to believe in the God that you're trying to communicate with. And when you believe that and you diligently set yourself in agreement to hear from God, then he'll reward you for it. And then the fourth thing we talked about was begin your request with thanksgiving. Just don't come in the presence of God and start asking him for a lot of stuff without being thankful. I use an analogy with children. Sometimes children come to you and they ask you for a lot of stuff, but they don't recognize who you are. And God wants the same respect and the same reverence when you come before him. And then finally, we talked about you've got to understand the difference between needs and wants. God said that he's already going to supply your needs. And he said, as a matter of fact, I already know your needs before you even ask of them. So he said, why don't you save some time and focus in on your wants? And he said, if you want your wants, then all you got to do is seek me first, and everything that you need, I'll add it unto you. Am I doing all right? And then we summarize the teaching by talking about the key to hearing from God was in asking. Because the Bible says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. Then the Bible says, everyone that asketh receiveth. Amen. And so we closed out with giving you five things that you are asking of the Lord, and we're in a process of time now to watch and see how God will respond to what you ask. And that's what I'm going to teach you on this morning. Amen?
Amen.
And so God will respond to you in one of three ways. And I want to slow walk this like I did on last week, because one of the problems in the body of Christ is once we learn how to ask, we have trouble with the receiving mode. What sense does it make for you to seek God, for you to get in the presence of God and to ask him for things in your life and then not hear how he responds to you? If you come to me, you say, Pastor, I need $10, and I don't say anything to you, you've literally wasted your time, because you didn't get what you were seeking me after. And so what I want to teach you guys on this morning is how to get a response, and normally how God responds. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, there's three ways that he will respond. And the first way that God normally responds to you is through his word. Look at this. And thine ears shall hear a what? A word behind thee saying. So it's the most common way that God normally speaks. We've got to understand, first of all, that in the Word of God, God has already provided an answer to everything you will ever face. You're going through divorce, it's in here. You're going through separation, it's in here. You're going through financial problems, it's already in here. And so a lot of times, we will already ask God for things that he's provided an answer to. And sometimes we don't get an answer from him because he's already given us an answer to what we're asking in his word.
Amen.
There's times when my children, they come and they ask me something that they already know the answer to. Y'all kids do that?
Yeah.
They come ask you a question. Mama, can I have some cookies?
Mm-hmm.
They already know before they even ask for the cookies that they don't eat cookies till after dinner time. They know that. You've gone over it 100 times. You got it posted on the refrigerator. Am I doing all right?
Doing all right.
But what they do, they come ask you anyway. And sometimes we, as parents, we don't answer them. At least I don't. Or I'll say, you already know the answer to the question you're asking me. Am I doing all right?
Amen.
So sometimes we won't get a response from God because we're asking him something that we already knows the answer to. Let me give you some examples. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Verse number 22 and 23. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Look at 23. But he answered her not a word. But you remember this, don't you? But he answered her not a word. We'll wait for you to pick that up in your spirit. He asked her, she asked Jesus a question, but he answered her not a word. So in other words, Jesus gave her an answer without saying anything. And she had a request of him. Am I right about that?
Amen.
Can I break it down? Say, break it down, Pastor.
Amen.
So let's look what she said. Here's what she said. She said, Have mercy on me, O Lord, and made a statement about the condition that her daughter was in. She didn't ask Jesus specifically concerning her daughter. Okay. She just said, Jesus, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.
All right. Come on, that's good. Come on.
All she did was say, have mercy, and Jesus didn't answer her because he was already having mercy.
Right.
He's the God of grace and mercy, so it's wrong need to answer that because you didn't ask me a question.
Yes,
am I doing all right?
Amen.
He could not respond to her daughter because she made a statement instead of asking him. Jesus wants you to ask him something versus make a statement about what condition you're in. Lord, you know the rent's due. Jesus know that already. Lord, you know I'm struggling here to pay the... Jesus already knows that. Because he already knows, I taught you on last week, your every need for you even ask of him. He's already aware. Jesus don't need no updates. He don't need no emails. He don't need no status on your present condition. All he needs for you to do is to ask him something based upon his word. And if you don't ask him nothing based upon his word, then he's not obligated to answer. Am I doing all right?
Yeah.
A whole lot of us, we don't get answers from God because we just give God an update on our status.
That's real.
Y'all never thought about it like that. See, that's why you're in church this morning. Stop updating Jesus on your status and ask him to do something for you. Because if you don't ask him to do nothing for you, all he can do is just look there and wait for you to ask. If you don't ask, like Bill Clinton, you don't ask, I don't tell. Y'all remember that? Don't ask, don't tell. Let's give you another example. Can I give you another example? Look at Matthew 27. All right. Verse number 11 through verse number 12. 11 and 12. Matthew 27. 11 and 12. Here we go again. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. Am I doing all right? So the governor asked a question from Jesus, and the governor got a response because Jesus was, in fact, the king of the Jews. He was the king of the Jews. He was the king of Pilate. He was the king of the whole universe.
Amen.
And so he got the answer that he was looking for.
Amen.
Am I doing all right?
Doing all right?
Now look at this. Verse 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Here's another scenario. He gets the governor gets a response. Then the governor's chief priests and elders start accusing Jesus of all this stuff, but Jesus don't say nothing. Different scenario, different response. Why is it that Jesus did not respond to the governor, or respond to the accusations that the chief priests and the elders had made, because Jesus can only respond to what he is, not what he isn't. Oh, y'all missed that. Jesus don't get caught up in answering stuff that don't make no sense, that people was accusing him and talking funny to him and saying all manner of things about him, but Jesus never answered him a word. And we got to have that same mentality, because sometimes in the body of Christ, we get caught up answering stuff that don't make no sense no way. Amen. People say you're a liar, you this, you that. You know you ain't no liar. They just mad at you. But you're wasting all your time, your energies, and resources trying to prove what you already know. Y'all are not going to mess with me. Why are you wasting time trying to prove that you ain't a liar, that you ain't this, that you ain't that, when you already know that? The truth got a way of showing up after a while. So Jesus don't get caught up in folks asking him stuff about what he's not. He won't respond to that. He'll only respond to what he is. Can I give you another example? How many of y'all have ever said, Lord, are you there for me? I know I'm not the only one in here that's done that. I just don't feel like you're here. I just don't feel like you're with me. You promise you'd never. Am I doing all right? I guarantee you didn't get no response from that. Why? Because he can't respond to what he's not. He said he was there all the time. You may not feel it. You may not understand it. But he's there walking through you. As a matter of fact, he's probably carrying you what you're trying to get through. And you don't even understand it. You don't understand why you ain't went crazy, why you ain't made it. Because he was there for you. Am I doing all right? All right. So we understand that you won't get a response from the Lord when you ask him about what he's not. He will only respond to what he is. Now, the second way that you can hear from God, from his word, is when he speaks directly to you. God can, God does, and God will speak to you directly. He will speak directly into your spirit, or you will hear his audible voice. And so when God speaks into your spirit, he will say one thing or one phrase of things that will change your life or change the course or the direction that you are heading. That's how powerful the word of God is. Amen. He often does that, but you need to recognize when it's him. So how do I know when it's the voice of the Lord speaking into my spirit? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at St. John, chapter number 10. All right, verse number 1 through 4. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his what? His voice. Look at this. Not only do they hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So, Pastor, how can I know that it's God speaking to my spirit? First thing is, the Bible says that the sheep will know his voice. It's something about the voice of God that you know in your spirit that God is in fact speaking to you. Am I doing all right? It's just a common thing, because a lot of times the Bible said there's a whole lot of voices that go out into the world. And so one of them is the voice of your flesh. The other is the voice of the devil. And so when it's the voice of God speaking into your spirit, it will not violate what's in his word. A lot of people in the body of Christ get caught up with saying that God is leading them and telling them to do stuff that you can't find in the Word. If you can't find it in the Word, that ain't God. Tell your neighbor, that ain't God. If it's outside of this book, it's not in the Word, then, and you're saying God's speaking to you, you can't find it in here, then you're not hearing the voice of God. He will never speak anything to you that violates or goes against what's already written. All right? Now, second thing, let's look at Amos 3 and 7. Amos is in the Old Testament. You gotta find Amos. It's back there. It's called the end of the Old Testament. Amos 3 and 7. Am I teaching you all right this morning? All right, good. Now, I took my coat off last week. I'm trying to keep it on this week. Amos 3 and 7. If you can't find it, just write it down. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Am I doing all right? So the other way that God speaks to you through your word, through his word, is it won't go against what your leader is saying.
Amen.
I didn't get too many amens there. Because God will never violate his leaders, and he normally prepares his leaders for what you feel God is speaking to you.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
But in Christendom and in local churches, you got a lot of people that saying God is speaking to them, but it's going against what the house order and the house that's been set that they're submitted under. Well, Pastor, the Lord says that I need to get a second job. I agree. And this second job, Pastor, is going to cause me to work on Sundays. I don't agree with that. Because how can you be at work trying to catch up on bills when the word of the Lord is coming forth on a Sunday morning teaching you how to get out of debt?
Amen.
Y'all looking at me mighty funny again, see? God's not going to speak anything to you that goes directly against what's being spoken in your house. God's not going to lead you on a sabbatical. He's not going to lead you to do anything that's outside of already set in the order of the house. And if you find yourself saying God is speaking to me to do A, B, C, and D, and it's not lining up with the leadership that you're submitted under now, then you're not hearing from God. You're hearing from your flesh. I've heard people say, well, God's calling me to lead a church, or God's called me to do this. And I'm not saying this church specifically, but I'm just saying churches in general. And they just be as wrong as two left shoes. Well, where are you going? I don't know. God normally gives some sort of direction. Now, there's transition, but transition don't take 5 years. I left them 5 years ago, and you still ain't found no church? Something wrong with that. Because you should have been done, it's bad grammar, but I keep telling you I did graduate from college. You should have been done, found a new location to get submitted under and hook up under. Listen, God is not calling us to nomad ministry. That's a wandering ministry where you just not submitted to anybody. And then you make excuses about why you're not submitted. Well, I was hurting the church. Praise the Lord, join the club, so was I. Well, the preachers are crooked. That's true, but all of them ain't crooked. Hello. Well, they doing all crazy stuff. Hello, you ain't perfect neither now. We shine the spotlight on you. We'll find some nicks and some tarnishes if we look hard enough. So don't try to come up with all this crazy stuff as to 10 reasons why you ain't submitted to nobody. Because when you're not submitted, it shows a lack of submission to the things of God. Mm-hmm. God said, I give everybody a pastor after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Amen.
Who will care for your soul.
Come on now.
If you don't have a pastor, you have nobody looking out for your soul.
Amen.
Then Jesus said in the book of Hebrews, not Jesus, but Paul said, we have to give an account. We have to do it with joy. So what do I say to that? Well, he sat in the church, but they never submitted, Lord. So technically, there's no way of covering. Am I doing okay? I don't want to get too deep down that road because that we can get in trouble going there. All right, now, Are y'all following me closely?
Amen.
All right. Now, the second way that God responds to you is through others.
Yes.
Let's look at Matthew 18:16. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 16. I want y'all to start getting some answers from God.
Amen.
I don't want you to end up like the Canaanite woman where he answered her not a word. How many of y'all here would say, Pastor, I'm beginning to hear from God in some areas?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Matthew 18, verse 16. Let's just read the last portion of that verse. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. I want to make clear to you again that even though it's God's desire to communicate directly with you, he often will communicate with you through others. This is called confirmation. God will often confirm what he's speaking to you through someone else.
Amen.
It is a way that you can discern that it is in fact him speaking when the other person says the same thing that you feel God has spoken to your spirit and you don't talk to them about it. That's called confirmation.
Amen.
So God says to you, you need to get out of that job. You need to get out of that situation you're in. God speaks that to your spirit. And you go to work and somebody to save say, you know, bro, I don't know why God is telling me to say this, but he's saying you need to get out of that situation you're in. Now, I haven't talked to him. We haven't said nothing. And it's a way that God confirms in your spirit to let you know that it's him that's speaking to you. It's called confirmation. It's the other way that God will speak to you. All right? Now, the second way confirmation works is when God has spoken something to you and you're not really sure if it's God or not.
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all have been there?
Amen.
You feel like God's speaking something to you, but I'm just not sure if this is really what God is saying. And you can use confirmation by going to someone else and say, look, this is what I feel that's in my spirit, yada, 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 so on and so forth. And then if they confirm the same thing that God has spoken to you, then that's confirmation. I do that a lot of times as a pastor. I'll make certain decisions or certain actions will happen within the church. And I will talk with other pastors that are peers. And I say, Pastor, this is a situation that happened in the church, yada, 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 so on and so forth. And this is how I handled it. What is your thinking on that? Or how would you have handled it if you were in my shoes? And if they come back and say the same thing or take the same actions that you took that you feel God was leading you to do, then it's a way you can know that you're hearing from God and you're doing the right thing. All right. All right. Now. For those of you that are ministers or going into training, let me prepare you up front. A good pastor prepares those that are under him. When you first start off preaching, God just give you hundreds of confirmations. You just sitting down preparing a message and your wife walk in and say something about you. You just wrote in your notes. And boy, I know that's the Lord. I know it's Jesus. I know I got the right one now. But you mess around, start growing in grace. And you grow in the things of God. God don't always do that. Because you have to learn to walk by faith and be confident in what he's speaking to your spirit. I'm at a level where I'm confident where I know what God is saying. I know what God is leading. I know what he wants to speak to the house. And so I don't necessarily need a confirmation from anybody. And I don't look for them because I already trust God and know his voice that he's leading me to do A, B, C, and D. But as you're growing up in the faith, you're not always sure of that you got the right message. I tell you that when you got the right message, you want an indicator?
Amen.
When you don't get a whole lot of amens. You got the right message then. That's a good indicator that you're preaching the right thing. When they shouting and jumping over chairs, you know, you got a message. May not be the one that they need to hear right now. But when you dealing with life issues, you ain't getting a whole lot of amen. That means you got the right message. See, I just helped out some preacher that's listening to this. I just helped him out real good. All right. Number three, and we're going to get out of here. This blessing anybody?
Amen.
Trust y'all are getting something out of this. All right. Now, third way that God responds to you is by dreams and visions. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Because as you guys have written your five requests that I hope you've got in your Bible and you're monitoring how God responds, he's going to respond to you one of these three ways. It's already in his word what you're asking. He's going to speak something to your spirit, or he's going to confirm what you're asking him through someone else. Or he's going to speak to you in a dream or a vision. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse number 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saying God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, although this is a prophetic scripture directed to young and old men, I want you to understand that God does not limit dreams and vision language to them only. God can give a dream or can give a vision to anybody. God, let me tell you something. God even gives visions or dreams to sinners. It's right in the Bible. He gave wicked kings dreams of what was going to happen, and they had to call the saints to interpret what God was saying to them. So God can speak to a sinner through a dream. That's why you got to understand, when we pray and we intercede for people that ain't unsaved, sometimes God will deal with them through their dreams. He'll show them visions of hell. He'll show them stuff that's going to happen in their life if they don't get right. Because technically he can't talk to them until they become one of his own. But he got to get them a message that they got to get right with him. So am I doing all right? So sometimes he'll teach and talk to them in a dream or a vision. Now, for the body of Christ, he speaks to us in dreams, and sometimes he'll respond to you in that particular dream. You may have a direct situation, or it may deal with a similar situation that you're confronting or something that you're dealing with. God, the unsaved call this deja vu. Y'all know what deja vu is, where you something happens to you and you're like, man, was I here before? The unsaved call that deja vu. But sometimes that's God language, because he's preparing you in advance for what you're getting ready to encounter. And so you may dream something that's going to take place, and it actually takes place. And it may be a span of time, it may be right away. It depends on how urgent the request is you're seeking of him. Now let me give you an example. My wife's not here today, but she had a dream when she was seeking God for employment, which is very important. How many of y'all look for a job? You got to pray and seek God where he wants you to be, because he wants you to be in a place where you can influence the kingdom. Just don't take no job where they got you working a crazy schedule. You work for a heathen that ain't saved, don't love the Lord. Want you to work Wednesdays. You got to pray and seek God for where he wants you to be. And so she was praying and seeking God concerning where he wanted her to work. And he gave her a dream about Babies R Us. And he said, go to Babies R Us, fill out an application, and they're going to hire you. And so she had that dream, and the way you can tell it's God is what? She got hired and got the job. Obviously it was a God. But it wasn't necessarily for promotion and all this stuff and prestige, although all that came and comes, but it was for other people. Because there was at least two souls that came from Babies R Us from where she works at. Hello. Praise the Lord. So God may give you a dream on where to work at. Now, here's something I'm just going to throw out there. God not going to lead you to work at a 7-Eleven or a little convenience store where you're selling condoms, cigarettes, and alcohol.
All right, come on.
Hello. I just messed somebody's application up, didn't I? Pastor, I had it in the car. I was on my way. Because what are you doing? You're helping to advance the kingdom of Satan. So God's not going to put you nowhere where his agenda cannot be fulfilled. He's going to put you in a place where your influence can eventually take over the whole company. That's why you got to be cautious and you got to listen to the voice of God, because he'll speak to you in different ways. I remember God dealt with me through dreams before I started this ministry. First dream I had, there was a couple in it that actually, and I understand it now, but there was a couple in the dream, and they were in the dream. God was showing me that because my first year of ministry, I dealt with them. The second dream I had, a couple of years later, there was another couple in the dream, and that was the Ganeys. And I understand now because it dealt with the second phase of ministry. Am I doing all right? So God will give you specific dreams, and it's his way of talking to you to try to get an answer across. He may give you a dream that is symbolic, that deals with something you're dealing with, to help prepare you and to help. So when you go through it, you don't have to deal with it in that manner. All right. Now, the other way that God speaks, and I'm going to close with this, is through visions. The Bible say that you'll dream dreams and you'll have visions. Visions are the language of God. A vision is a prophetic glimpse into the future. And so you may have a vision of you doing something. You may see yourself in a church preaching, quick glimpse of a vision, and that's a prophetic glimpse of your future. You may see, I've heard people who've had visions of their wives, visions of their husbands. Now, they weren't married to other people. Let me make that very clear, because I'm trying to tell you, people get crossed up. Child, I saw it. This was going to be my husband. But he's already committed now. He's already in a relationship. So that's not the Lord. That's your flesh talking to you. But in reality, God will show you things concerning your future. Now, I've had a guy that the Lord showed him his wife, and it was 8 years before he met her. But when he met her, it was the exact same way that God had shown you. How do you know it's a vision or a dream from God? Because it's etched in your spirit. I had those dreams and those visions I was telling you about 5.5 years ago. Early 99, I had the first one. Second one I had around 2001, 2002. Years have gone past, but I can recall it like it was yesterday. Like I dreamt it last night. Why? It was a God dream. When it's a God dream, it's etched in your spirit for life. When it's a God vision, you just can't. You can try to forget it. You can try not to remember it. But that's what it is. God dream and God visions. Amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet this morning. We trust that you got something.